Thank you. What a service. Thank you for leading us in that powerful expression of worship, that God's faithfulness is great because he is a great king above all the earth. What a wonderful message. Now, I know what you're thinking. Too bad I wasn't on Kindle or some kind of version where you could put double speed or something this morning. You know, you listen to your audiobooks. But we still want to look at God's word. And I do want to encourage you, first of all, if you are considering coming to our How to Read the Bible and Study the Bible, and you say, but I've been reading the Bible and studying it for 40 years, I want to encourage you to come. It's going to be very practical. We're going to talk about simple ways to read and listen to God's Word, but then we're going to, around tables, work with other people and try to understand what is God trying to say here and to develop this as a practice in our lives. I would invite you to come on those two Friday nights on September 20th and 27th from 6:30 to 8:30. I think it will be a great time together as we study God's Word and we teach each other. Jesus came to his disciples and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The declaration of our mission as disciples of Jesus is primarily the main verb in this sentence. The main verb is the main action word, this main direction that God is giving. And what is it? It's to make disciples. We're going to see that in a minute. These are very familiar verses to us. And every fall, we want to come back to this. We want to come back to the fact that we already have a mission. That God has already given us a mission to make disciples. And so we are saying, Lord, would you make us this kind of church? Would you cause us to be faithful, to be disciples who make disciples? If you're new at First Baptist Church, we want you to have absolute missional clarity on what we are about as a church. You've heard me preach on this before if you are part of this church family. If you are not there yet, I would like to invite you to turn to Matthew 28, three verses, 18, 19, and 20. Matthew 28, the Pew Bible, it's page 993. Often we come to these verses and we only see what these verses are telling us to do as disciples. It is telling us to make disciples, and we'll see that in a moment. But this week I saw in a fresh way that these verses are actually telling us three things about Jesus. In fact, I think the primary purpose and focus of these verses is to tell us these three things about Jesus. First and foremost. And because of these three things, we are called to make disciples. But open your Bible. I want you to see it with your own eyes. The first one is in verse 18, Matthew 28, verse 18. The second and the third are both in verse 20. Did you find the first one yet? Jesus has all authority. Not some. He's not a representative of God. Jesus says three things in verse 18. I have all authority. Verse 20, I have commanded you. And in verse 20 again, the very end, I am with you. He's telling us something about himself. Jesus has all authority in heaven. Wow. And on earth. He's not just a representative from heaven that is on earth, and while he's down here, he's doing the Father's work. This is the resurrected Jesus. He's appearing to his disciples, and he says, I have all authority in heaven. Authority in heaven is God's authority. And he doesn't have some of God's authority. It's not modalism. It's not false ideas of Jesus somehow growing to become God. No, he himself is God who is on earth as God Almighty with all authority, died, resurrected, the perfect Lamb of God. That matters. Because if he has all authority in heaven, then you know what's coming next. Then he has all authority over his creation on earth. Whether you accept it or not, you can shake your fist at God, and in his kindness, in his mercy, he will lead some to repentance. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, some to his pardon and mercy and grace, eternal life, and others away from his presence and judgment forever. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. That's why he can say the next thing, I have commanded you. There's no wiggle room here. We don't like these ideas. It's not the church that commands you. It's not somehow trying to impress others. No, Jesus, God, has commanded his disciples. He gives commands to his followers. He says, I've commanded you. He's speaking to his disciples. We are under his command or under his rule. Jesus has authority over those who are his. And overall, he is sovereign. But it's important in these verses we understand this first. And then, wonder of all wonders, he is constantly present. Jesus said this to his first disciples. But he said, I will be with you always, at the very end of verse 20, even to the end of the age, when he comes back physically. Romans 8 and verse 9 says that his spirit, the spirit of Christ, dwells in all those who belong to Christ. That's Romans 8, verse 9. Jesus says, if I go to the Father, I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will be with you. He will guide you into all truth. By the Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of the body. By the Spirit, he produces fruit. By the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, dwells in all those who belong. He is with us as his disciples always until the end of the age. Thank the Lord. This matters. He has all authority. He commands us, and he is with us in this room. In this exact moment, and until he comes again. And he calls us to make disciples. What a sad thing that the church has been taken over by corporate vision, as if it matters what all of us collectively think we should be doing as a church. As if we can come up with a better vision and come up with our own goals and objectives, when we already have the one who has all authority and rules over the people that he loves and by his presence empowers us as his church. What a wonderful mission that others would know this same loving command. That others would know this wonderful, forgiving, merciful presence. And so we pray, Lord, would you make this us? Would you make us disciples who make disciples? I want to invite you to pray with me, and then we'll look at these verses. Father, you are kind. You are full of mercy. Like the words from Isaiah and Romans 10, how beautiful, how wonderful the good news is. It is good news. It begins with the searchlight on our soul. People do not want to come to the light lest their deeds be exposed. But that very light that exposes our sin reveals Christ and our forgiveness. I pray this morning that we would see your mission, that we would understand your mission, that you would give us courage as First Baptist Church family to walk with you in this mission. And would you accomplish your mission in me, in us, in your church? Father, we join our prayer and confession with our new members again. We confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior in my life, our lives. We go on to confess that he is the head of the church. These very things, that all authority in heaven and on earth is his. Our life is not our own. We were bought with a price. Therefore, we will honor you with our body, with the body of the church. Jesus is Lord. Father, we are your servants. So speak, Lord. We are your servants, are listening. Amen. One primary verb, to make disciples. Three secondary verbs. You likely know these verses if you've read them. The three verbs, two in verse 19 and one in verse 20, to go, to baptize, and to teach. All three of them are secondary because they're participles, which means they're continuing. In fact, the word go should actually be better translated going. And then it makes sense. It's like the one primary verb, the one action, the one command is to make disciples. And then it's like a planet, and all these little participles are like, you know, satellites that are going around it. They are the primary ideas to make disciples. As you are going, as you are baptizing, and as you are teaching. So Jesus gives us the method. How are we to make disciples? By going. By baptizing, this public declaration of genuine faith, of dying with Christ and rising to newness of life. Gospel clarity in baptism. And teaching. Teaching to observe everything that Jesus commanded. A new commandment I give you, that you would love one another, that you would make disciples, all of Jesus' commands. This is why public baptism is so important. You are personally declaring, I am a follower of Jesus. It is not your parents who are doing it for you. That's why we do baby dedication. We want to be very clear that the parents are dedicated to serve and guide and lead their children. But we are still holding this child and say, Lord, by your mercy, would you save their soul? And we will be obedient. We will teach our children. But God, by your grace, would you draw them to yourself? Going, baptizing, and teaching. That's our mission. To make disciples, not just to make converts. And this is where I really believe the church has got off track over the last few years. The church believes that the primary work that we are called to do is simply evangelism. Go bang on doors. Go to the world, become like the world, whatever methodology you use. Come to church, change church so it's seeker-sensitive. Let's have the three-ring circus. Let's not offend. Let's jump through hoops, whatever we got to do, to somehow convince people that they need to come to Jesus. Making converts. But that is not the command of Matthew 28. And the rest of the New Testament, the command for the church is to make a disciple, a follower of Jesus. Otherwise, it wouldn't include going to them. It wouldn't include baptism in a public declaration that is a demand that you would be very clear about the gospel. And it certainly would not include teaching them to observe everything that God commanded. So the church gets soft on those things. If we think it is just making converts, we try to focus the church just on the world. Sometimes people accuse the church of being insular or introspective or too self-focused, but really that's an emphasis that says we need to get out there and just make converts, because that's not what the Bible says. We're okay to have our own opinion, but it is not a biblical opinion. In Ephesians 4, pastors and teachers, evangelists, they're given to the church to do what? To equip the saints for works of ministry. And what are those works of ministry? If you read and go on, it's serving the body of Christ. It's not just what anyone thinks the church ought to be. We use a fancy word in theology called biblical ecclesiology. What that means is a clear understanding. What does the Bible describe the church is supposed to be? We are supposed to be the body of Christ. The church is not for non-Christians. The church are those who believe. The church is not for the world. The church is for Christians. And Christians are for the world. That's why it says we should go to them. And we've made the mistake, I think, over the last 50 years or less, that we somehow just bring them to church. Let the pastor scalp them. Whatever we got to do, just bring them to church. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You search the world over to make one convert, and you make him twice as much a son of hell." We do not want to bring non-Christians to church. We want to bring them to Christ. With all the alternative lifestyles and the message that the world gives people, our message is not just change your lifestyle. Our message is come to Jesus. He is a good master. He is with you. He loves you. And he has a design for you. But come to him. And then he will sort out all those other things. We've made the mistake of saying, no, just come to church. And then we dumb down church so we don't offend. No, the church is the body of Christ, equipping the saints. Romans 12, we're all members of the body of Christ. And you know how it's defined? The body is those who are in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. And then it talks about the body serving and ministering to each other. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. What are we supposed to say? I do need you. In 1 Corinthians 12, another body passage, it says we are baptized into Christ, into the body of Christ by the Spirit. Our understanding of the church does not come from the world or church growth specialists. It does not come from a therapeutic gospel that somehow tries to do group counseling from the pulpit. Our understanding of the church comes from one who has all authority in heaven and on earth, and who commands us, and who is with us in this very moment. I can show you all over the New Testament. We don't have time. Every one of the letters starts very similar. Romans, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God the Father. 1 Corinthians, to the church of God that is at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those in every place who call on the name of the Lord, their Lord and ours, grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians, grace to you and peace from God our Father, who called you in the grace of Christ. Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual place, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. To the saints who are in Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. The church are the saints, those who are the body of Christ. But we are for the world. We don't exist for ourselves. We are called to go, to leave and go to the world with a message of hope, a message that says, come and die. Come and be united with Jesus in his death and his resurrection. And then follow him. He is a good master. When he calls us to purity and holiness, just listen to Ephesians, and I wish I had time. I would preach this entire book. In Ephesians 1, verse 12, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ Jesus, might be to the praise of his glory. It's 1, verse 12, and then chapter 2, verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together in a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. Now, chapter 3, verse 20, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The church, the bride of Christ, is to be the humble, glorious reflection of Christ. That my life and yours is like this massive mirror. And the reflection of Christ, it's not us, it's Christ in us, just it shines out into the world as we go to the world. There's only one place in the New Testament where it talks about those who are not believers coming into the church. And it's in the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians from verse 12 to 16. Right in the middle in verse chapter 14, it says, If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers, see, those who are not in the church are unbelievers, those who are in the church are believers, enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all prophesy, telling forth who God is. If all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all and he's called to account by all, and the secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and will declare that God is really among you. Oh, that this would be said of our church. God is really among you. And what is it? It's worship, to fall and worship. That's why God's word matters so much in the church, because it's the revelation of who this God is that we worship. Now, I don't know how I'm going to finish my sermon. I'm going to invite you to take this card. It was in the bulletin. On the front, on the picture, where it shows a picture of the city, and it says First Baptist Church, Calgary. It says our mission, making disciples of Jesus from all nations. Our foundation. It's not clever tricks. We're devoted to prayer and God's word. And our motivation is to love God and to love others. On the backside, you'll see this is our description of a discipled person. This is what it's going to look like in my life and in your life as you are growing, as we are together making you and me into disciples of Jesus. So it begs the question, is this you? Every disciple and together worshiping. Every disciple worshiping. And together worshiping. Every disciple fellowshipping. We used to have the word connect. Last year we said worship, connect, grow. But I want to go back to the old word. To the Bible word. We have had such sweet fellowship over this last week. Sharing testimonies and hearing the hearts of those who are coming into membership. If you were at those membership meetings, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We had sweet fellowship around our table the other night as Leon and I had a few people over and we shared what God is doing. The word fellowship simply means what is common. In 1 John it says, we have fellowship with the Father and with His Son and with each other because we have Christ as our head. Our relationship with God creates our relationship with each other. Philippians 2, fellowship in the Spirit, the same mind, the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And finally, we have the mind of Christ. That's fellowship. We need to grow in fellowship. Worshiping God, the kind of worship that the Father seeks, is those who worship in spirit and truth. And we know all these verses. Jesus said, there is those who honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And immediately we pray, oh Lord, would you let it be on my heart, just like we said to Marcus and Megan. Every disciple worshiping and together worshiping. Every disciple fellowshipping. Now you might say, well, you know, I don't know anybody yet at the church. I'm new and I don't feel comfortable, but we are brothers and sisters. We have Christ in common and we invite you into fellowship. You might even say, well, I'm pretty good at fellowshipping. I have coffee after the service. I'm growing as a Christian. I'm understanding God. I'm serving people and I'm witnessing. So I'm multiplying. But if you do not have worship, then you are not a true disciple. The kinds of worshipers the Father seeks is those who will worship in spirit truth, and we pray, oh Lord, make us disciples, every disciple, worshiping, fellowshipping, growing, serving, and multiplying. And I just need to close. Come back to Matthew 28. This is what we are about at First Baptist Church. This is what we are praying for. And this card is a prayer card. And I'd like to invite you to pray with me over this year, keep it in your Bible so that as you have devotions, as you spend time with God, you begin to pray in your own life. And if you are just attending church and you're not serving anyone, then let the Holy Spirit convict you, because this is God's plan, that you would serve in the body. Or maybe it's multiplying. You have not shared Christ for more than 15 or 20 years. Then Colossians 4 says, pray that God will open a door and that we will speak clearly as we ought. Oh Lord, would you do this in us? We pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and I know that we have gone late and we still want to share communion. Make us your church. Carry out your mission among us, that every one of our hearts, every disciple and together worshiping, every disciple and together fellowshipping, every disciple and together serving, every disciple and together growing, and every disciple and together multiplying. Build your church, Lord, we pray.